Star Wars. Well, may the 4th be with you. No, wrong one. Welcome to the 4th of July here on the Rancor Pit with myself, Cole Houston, and of course,
Eddie Medina. Not even, as you said it, I didn't even catch it. You didn't say the right thing because I'm like, I'm so excited to get into tonight's topic. I wasn't even thinking straight.
I could have got away with it if it wasn't for those meddling kids.
I know.
Got those meddling kids for correcting everything I do. So, yeah, no, welcome.
Those meddling kids, Buffy and Oz and Xander. Oh, no, wrong group of meddling kids,
we're
I suppose.
Getting everything confused today, but
right.
The one thing we're certain of is we know what our topic is for tonight. And we are happy to welcome you to the 73rd episode. We're coming up on 75 episodes of the Rancor Pit.
Yeah.
The 75th will drop in August. And the 100th episode of the Rancor Pit Live drops live in August as well. So we are hitting some milestones simultaneously as we race very slowly to catch up.
One day we will. One day.
Yeah. One day we'll be back to the point where we're ahead on the older of the two shows. But, you know, unlike the live show, this one has a lot more, is more forgiving. If we don't show up.
Right. Hey, look at it this way. At least we're not as bad as those guys over at Hey Kids Comics, where their live show is still in the single digits, whereas their audio shows in triple digits.
We did 9 shows with the two of them and 10 shows total, so.
Oh, is that it? Was there 10?
Well, there were 10 total shows, so yeah, they did hit the second.
Now, they have a lot of catching up to do.
Yeah, they have, like, 90 episodes if we could ever get Andy back in Texas.
No, I'm talking about they have a lot to catch up to their audio podcast.
Oh, yeah. Good
like
night.
240
the,
to catch up or something.
Yeah, in fact, the audio show of the just hit 277 issues.
Okay, I knew it was approaching 3. Man, y'all are good night. Dedicated.
We're barreling up on our 300th issue, which will be all about the Frank Miller seminal 300 because
genius!
Yes, it's this is Sparta.
Genius.
It was fun to do so. That's coming up.
I definitely won't be a guest host on that because I've never read 300. I've only seen the movies.
I actually have the best one because I haven't read it yet either. But
okay.
Get it on to the topic.
Full disclosure.
That's right. So we are recording and we'll be airing shortly after the end of San Diego Comic-Con. And before we jump into our topic, I want to say wow to the Black Series Rio Durant.
Oh, it I have not looked, seen this. I will look it up this moment.
Good night. I am so happy. Rio Durant's going to be available in 3¾-inch and 6-inch scale this year. And Hasbro apparently has.
That is a beauty.
Photorealistic technology now for their sculpts.
Yeah. Wow.
Amazing stuff coming down.
That's a beauty. I only see one photo that's popped up, but it's enough. Good. Oh, there's another one. Oh, goodness. That is nice. That is real nice. And I see as I'm searching, you know, the little They're semi Hot Wheel in nature. The little battle rollers. They're like the little vehicles.
Oh yes, there's a Rio Durant battle roller.
Yes, that's pretty cool. Those are freaking hard to find. That first wave of battle rollers, I managed to snag on a deal, but I have not seen the other waves at all. So those are tricky. You know what else San Diego I'm excited about since you brought it up?
Certainly.
Is the for people who got into who decided to take bite the bullet on Black Series late in the game, like Cole and I did, especially me in particular, they're re-releasing some of the harder-to-find early releases.
Yes, I was about to mention that.
Oh, my gosh. I could finally get a Boba Fett, an X-Wing Luke.
Yeah, and I like the fact that they are simultaneously pissing off and respecting those who the aftermarket.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. Scalpers, they're probably wetting themselves right now.
Oh, they're probably so pissed. But they are giving them at least a bit of a kind of a nod because they are giving them you know, these characters are going to be re-released on different packaging.
Yeah.
They're going to be on blister cards, much like the...
Really?
Yes. They're going to be like the those vintage series.
Yeah, the 40th
Marvel
anniversary.
Legends.
Mm-hmm. Well, the 40th anniversary. Oh, wow. I did not catch that part of the story. I just heard that they're getting re-released.
Yeah, and that's a neat way of distinguishing one from the other while still giving us a chance, because I've got the Walgreens Boba Fett, mm-hmm. but I never kept a regular Boba Fett for myself, and now I'm half thinking about, I've got the Power of the Force 2 12-inch, mm-hmm. all six bounty hunters, and I'm thinking, you know, I've already got Bossk. I definitely want 4LOM, who, another nice thing is, and then we'll move on to our topic, the Disney store has picked up the Toys R Us exclusives.
Oh, nice. Okay.
So the Captain Phasma with the Quicksilver spear, mm-hmm. that was a Toys R Us exclusive that everybody feared would only ever be available in Canada.
Yeah.
For reasons, is actually going to be a Disney store exclusive.
Now, this is the Black Series 6-inch?
Yep.
Oh, cool.
It's the Captain Phasma Finn battle where
yeah.
her helmet's
busted up,
and,
yeah.
And she's got that spear thing.
Yeah, that's cool. I didn't hear that.
And 4LOM was to have been a Toys R Us exclusive in the books.
Yeah.
And that's coming to the Disney store as well.
I'm so excited. They're actually thinking about the fans and re-releasing those, because I'm excited. In particular, that Bossk is going to be made available again, because prior to me taking the plunge and collecting, you know, I just swore off Black Series because of their price point, with
yes.
the exception of Greedo, because I had to have my Greedo. I actually bought a Bossk because a friend was looking for it, you know, and handed it over, and the person neglected to never pay me for it. So, and I thought, not only did I regret not keeping it for myself, but I regret the fact that I never hounded him to give me that $22 that he owed me for the Bossk. So here I am going to have to buy it a second time, and this time I actually get to keep it.
That's right.
But also,
so
just real quick.
Really amazing that those are going to be made available again.
Yeah.
And especially when three of the hardest to find, being the three bounty hunters,
yeah.
and then, of course, Luke with the X-Wing.
Uh-huh.
You know, those are ones that are commanding ridiculous prices.
Oh, yeah. Exactly.
And now we're getting a chance to have a shot at
it. Yeah. And just real quick, just to mention the return of Rebels. Not Rebels, sorry. Clone Wars. They announced that at Comic-Con, so that's pretty cool. Even though I'm just shy of maybe 6 or 8 episodes from finishing off the series. It's cool that I can actually look forward to because I guess the way it ends with a lot of unanswered questions, I'm assuming, the way fans reacted to it. And I guess this is going to allow them to tie up loose ends. So that was another cool tidbit that came out of Comic-Con.
Excellent. And I've actually seen a picture now of the 3¾-inch Rio Durant. It actually looks pretty good for the tiny scale.
Yeah, it does. It does.
Well, we are here not so much to talk about toys, but, you know, don't get us started there. We're probably going to have to do another toy episode pretty soon,
uh-huh.
much like we do over at Hey Kids Comics, like every 4 months or so. But we are here to talk about another aspect of Star Wars and Star Wars collectibles, and that's posters, hence the title Off the Wall.
Yeah.
Because we are going to take the posters off the wall, examine them, talk about them, gush over them.
Yeah. Roll them up, put them in our bike spokes, and make that little funky noise. No, wait, that's trading cards.
Yeah, it's harder to do with
okay. That's the trick.
Much harder.
That joke's supposed to be for our trading card episode, but.
Yeah, that's right. Which we need that. We should do a trading card episode.
We did. We did one on the live show, but it didn't allow us to go in depth. So we probably should re-explore
right.
it. So, yeah.
That's true. There's so much ground to cover there as well. So, yeah, we are here to talk about posters. Eddie very brilliantly put that forward, and I thought, you know, why haven't we mm-hmm. been doing like something really big on the posters? Mostly theatrical. You know, the movie lobby poster.
Mm-hmm.
But we've got some other tricks up our sleeve as well, some other posters that inspire.
Yeah, so get your Google ready as you're listening to this, because you will need it.
That's right.
Because this isn't the live show. We always do this on the audio show. We thought, man, this would have made a better live show.
Exactly.
Oh, my gosh.
We've got some fun stuff here to look at, and we'll try to post some imagery on the Jedi Call website with this particular episode as well.
Yeah.
And let's just jump right in. Eddie, why don't you lead in with a favorite poster of yours? And we're probably going to duplicate one another here, so
yeah.
Be prepared.
It's like with anything, it's tricky because I could have talked about 30 different posters and not even scratch the surface. So to actually try to narrow down to a handful, this one was one that I discovered later on. I don't remember ever seeing this one particularly hanging up in the local theaters, but I did see it later on as the collector market grew in the 90s and things started to leak out more and the internet was made available. But it really became one of my favorites, and it's one of the versions of The Empire Strikes Back by, sorry if I butcher his name, Noriyoshi Ohri. Noriyoshi Ohri. And it's the image, and if you need it spelled out for Google purposes, Noriyoshi, and it'll probably autofill the rest, but it's Ohrai for his last name. But it's the image where it's very striking painting. The galaxy in the background is Vader's image coming through the nebulas. You have Lando up high, kind of doing like the Wolverine X-Men move across his chest, where he's got his hands across his chest.
Until I looked it up, mm-hmm. I was thinking, okay, good, I'm safe. We're not duplicating yet.
Yeah.
Right off the bat.
Oh, is this one?
This is the Australian Empire Strikes Back one sheet. I actually own a copy.
Nice.
And it is one of the most beautiful and striking images.
Isn't it?
Ever.
Yeah. And one of the things that always captured my attention, one thing in particular and a second thing that I didn't notice until further inspection was the fact that they placed the Falcon so close into all the action where it's almost like a breaking point in the poster. You know, it's right behind Han and Leia about to share a kiss, and you got the Falcon just zooming across almost as wide. Usually when you see the Falcon in the posters, it's far off in the background, but he brought it so far up, it's almost like a breaking point right diagonal across the whole poster itself.
Exactly, and it's not obvious because it's not the broad side.
No.
It's the flatter landing side.
It's such a genius way to present it.
Yeah, so you really get the whole flying hamburger thing going.
And the other thing that it was one of those things that when you inspect the poster closer and realize, oh, that's cool, is Cloud City, which is mostly obscured by all the figures, but it's there, and he even has the clouds kind of in a bowl shape coming up from underneath it. Just like design-wise, it's a magnificent illustration, whereas everything kind of pulls you to the center. All the figure, all the action is dead center of this poster. So it draws you in, but then he brilliantly gives you the little wisp lines going outward away made by the X-Wings and I guess the TIE Fighters, you know, zipping off up into the air. So it's like there's all sorts of elements that he works in into this piece that's just brilliant.
And one of the things that struck me, I've actually found this at a convention at Forum 303 Mall ages ago and bought it instantly because it was the fact the use of green.
Yes,
which does not, you know, Vader is black and green in the background. Uh-huh. This is the first green Vader you see since the Star Wars comics from Marvel.
Right.
Little recall there for anybody who can conjure those issues up off the top of their head and remember a big green Darth Vader.
But you're right. It's interesting that they gave like a green Darth Vader because one of the other, and not to go off too far off of this particular poster, but in aspects of green being a theme in a poster, one that immediately jumps to mind as soon as you said green was the Drew Struzan Return of the Jedi Special Edition poster, because the main color in that one was green because you had Jabba, Yoda, and then Chewie had green highlights in his hair. And but Vader is a silhouette in that particular poster, so it's kind of cool that we actually get, yeah, you're right, that green Vader in this All right. Sorry if I should know his name. I'll use his first name, Noriyoshi. His poster, yeah, you're right. I never made the connection, Cole, between his Green Vader in the background and the Green Vader on the first issue of the Marvel Comics. It's strange. I never caught that.
I doubt that that was a conscious decision, but it's kind of funny that there are only like two known Green Vaders out there.
Well, that and the during Easter time when you buy the little Vader heads that you fill with candy.
Oh,
Yeah,
that's
there
true. Sometimes find a Green
right, there
Vader.
you go.
I'm surprised there aren't any like Green Vaders for St.
I
Patrick's Day. If
know.
you listen to our recent holiday episodes, that were the first two issues or first two parts of the 4th of July. And the other thing is, it's sprinkled with so many little images, like Luke's X-wing covered in
Yes,
glass,
yes.
2-1B, an IG-88, probe droid, the AT-AT. There's just it's just chock full
And again,
of iconic imagery.
something I just now noticed upon closer inspection is the Tauntaun head behind the
Yes.
Snow Walker. I don't know if I've ever noticed the Tauntaun head back there. That's crazy. That's crazy. And I love how, he even has the little row of rebel soldiers in their trench, about to fire. Yeah,
Exactly.
it's so when I one that I definitely wanted to kick off was this particular one. It's such a beautiful artwork. So you actually own
That
this. That's
was
pretty
certainly
cool.
one of the top ones on my list, and one of a handful of Star Wars posters I own a
Yeah.
copy. Because that when I saw that, there was a poster dealer, and she says, "Oh, that's the Australian one sheet." And I think this is better than
I
anything
know.
the U.S. market had ever
It really
produced.
is. It really is.
And so I'm going to go to another unique poster. Which was the first Star Wars poster I ever bought. I think I paid $20 or $25 for it and counted myself very fortunate to get
I
my
thought you were going
hands
to say
on one.
20 or 25 cents for a second.
Okay. I'm not you. Mr. Oh, I bought Ghost Rider for 10
Oh my
bucks.
gosh, if only it was only $10.
But it is the what was known at the time as the Style D poster.
Yeah.
And I'd have to do some research to figure out
Oh my
who the
gosh, this was
artist.
the other one I was going to choose. That like the one where it's on the
Nice.
wood it's on the wood fence.
Yeah, it's designed to look like a bunch of
Well,
different
I
posters that
got your
have
answer for
been
you
put up
because that
and
was actually one of my choices. It was done. This is actually a monumental poster in that this was the first Star Wars work by Drew Struzan. It
I'll be
it's
damned.
yeah, I can't believe this is the first Star Wars piece he did, and I didn't realize that all these years until researching it later on when I was looking up other things about Drew Struzan and Indiana Jones related. This came up. I was like, "This is a Drew Struzan poster?" Because it's vastly different than what you normally see out of his stuff. But it
Yeah, but it was designed to look like a very large Star Wars poster had been plastered up on a fence or
Yeah.
something
Well, just real.
on top of where other posters had been
Yeah, other
pinned
Star
before.
Wars themed
Yeah.
posters. Well, it's actually a collaborative piece. It's Drew Struzan and Charles White the Third. So, which
Oh.
may lend itself to why you can see Drew Struzan in it, but it's not exactly what you normally see out of him. So yeah, it's a Struzan Charles White combo piece.
But it has always been one of my
Oh
favorites. I
yeah.
just like the feel of it. It gave it this sort of,
Yes.
old school appeal.
Yeah, exactly. It's something that you normally would have seen walking home from school as a kid in your neighborhood.
In 1937.
Well, when you grow up in Oak Cliff, people still plaster stuff up.
People were still
Or yeah,
plastering
they're still
posters up.
plastering stuff up to the side of the Country Burger and Menards and everything.
Maynards.
Yeah, and I always thought it was funny that you had two things that always made me chuckle about this particular poster. One was Chewbacca kind of being creepy down there in the corner.
Yeah, he's like a little creeper
Yeah,
down there.
he's
It's like,
like,
it's
yeah,
good.
he's just kind of like peeking around the corner. Either he's a pervert or he's a private eye, like Chewbacca, private eye, PI or something. But
And just kind of check what's going on in the Star Wars.
yeah. But the other thing that I always found funny was, if you look at C-3PO, he's doing, if you've ever seen Deliverance, he's doing the Ronnie Cox arm.
Oh, wow.
He's doing the Ronnie Cox dislocated arm thing. And
oh, my God, that explains why R2-D2 has an arrow through him.
It also explains why Luke in that one scene was oinking like a Gamorrean pig.
Yeah, that's right. Sure sounds like a Gamorrean guard.
But yeah, I always thought, what's 3PO? Why is he doing like the aroma size thing?
Well, that and the abbreviated lightsaber.
Yes, Vader's short saber.
Vader's little sort of like, oh, hang on, whoa, gotta put the safety on.
I mean,
on.
you can almost forgive the fact that he stole Mace Windu's lightsaber because it's purple, but.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's almost pink.
Yeah, well, why is it so short?
Oh, wrong lightsaber. It's the short version for girls.
So, yeah.
It's 1937, you can still say that.
Samuel Jackson wasn't the first one with a purple poster, purple lightsaber.
And just the feel of it spoke to the kind of different era that Lucas was looking for. Plus the little zap from the Jawas. Mm-hmm.
Petering out, kind of like, phew.
Okay, here
you
go.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's almost like a sleep gun.
Yeah, if you look very closely, but right by Chewbacca, you can see where it says C. White and Drew, the Drew Struzan signature. So okay. It kind of leads me to think that maybe Charles White was the illustrator. He penciled it out, and Drew Struzan maybe painted over it. Because if you do look at the brush strokes, like in particular, If you look closely at Obi-Wan's cloak, you could definitely see the Drew Struzan style in the way his cloak is highlighted, and Leia's gown. So yeah, I'm wondering if he did the paint over. The
yeah,
pencils.
Maybe he did the one artist did the layout and the other painted it all.
Right, because his signature does appear second out of the two on the thing, and that usually indicates. One did the illustration, and the second person did the paints over it.
There's a trace.
Next time you're at a convention of Drew Struzan, I dare you to go, you're just a tracer.
Yeah. Yeah,
the chasing Amy bit with him. And another thing that was always cool about this particular poster was the fact that they went with a completely different logo for Star Wars. Like like that old-timey carnival almost.
Almost like a Buck Rogers.
Yeah, know. Yeah. As opposed to something that the
Flash Gordon.
As opposed to something that the public was already familiar with.
In fact, years ago there was a company that was doing these 3D movie posters, a company called Code 3.
Yeah.
And they actually attempted this poster and it just does not translate.
Oh, yeah.
They've done some things like the Nightmare on Elm Street one sheet.
Oh, I remember those. Yeah.
Yeah, there were a handful of others that translated beautifully. But this one just, it was too many elements, and they didn't do a very good job trying to. I think the big problem was they weren't trying to match the brushwork.
Yeah. And what was the name of the company that did this?
Hope 3.
Say it again, Hope 3?
No, Code.
Oh, Code. Code 3. Okay.
Yeah, not a New Hope 3. And I think that really ultimately that's where it lacked was in the paint job. They didn't try to use that unique style.
Oh, I'm seeing it. They also did some for like the Howard Chaykin poster and the Return Revenge of the Jedi. Oh, wow. I've never seen these before. I remember seeing the horror movie ones that they did. Okay, I do remember them doing the Return of the Jedi where it's Luke's hands and...
Yeah.
Not Luke's Hans, but Luke's hands. Good. That's, yeah, okay. That's,
Hans
yeah,
free.
That's interesting. And it's kind of, actually, if you think about it, it's kind of cool that they chose this particular poster to recreate if only, you know, they pulled it off better.
Yeah, it had always bugged me, and I think just looking at the two side by side now, what the problem always that existed was that they never attempted to reproduce that brushwork.
Yeah, yeah.
They just went with a very flat paint job, and it doesn't work.
You know, a little aside story, since we're talking about this particular Drew Struzan, Charles White poster, is artist this came way later, obviously, during the prequel era. Artist Matt Bush thought it would be clever to do that same take on that wooden fence, one poster overlaying a couple of other posters, and he did it
I've seen that.
for Attack of the Clones, where it was like
Yeah.
one of the clone troopers riding his speeder and General Grievous, and and he even had creepy Chewbacca make him an appearance, but he's on the other corner, bottom corner now. So he's moved locations from one corner to
Yeah.
the other. But I thought it was pretty cool that Matt Bush decided to do a revised take on the wooden fence poster thing. But cut.
Even down to the point of, putting Obi-Wan in just the right spot.
You've actually kind of gotten my interest piqued on these Code 3 items, because that Revenge of the Jedi one is kind of cool looking. It's kind of cool.
Yeah, that one's kind of neat.
Yeah.
So what's another of your favorite posters?
We'll see. Like you've taken one of you've shared one of mine. I've shared one of yours.
Yeah, we're
Let me see.
not at all surprising that we're often on the same page with these things.
I'm gonna go with one that was an IMAX exclusive. This particular one series was done by Dan Mumford, and he started doing a series of IMAX posters for The Force Awakens, and then they got him to return for the Last Jedi line of posters. And what it was is they gave away a poster every week. So if you'd go see The Force Awakens opening weekend, you'd get the first poster. You go back the next week, you get the second. So it was kind of causing you to go see the movie four times. Out of all the posters that he did, I actually own one from The Last Jedi. It's a great poster, but not one of the ones I would have chosen if I could have gotten my hands on one. And it's the one where it's Snoke sitting on his throne and Kylo Ren kneeling with the Praetorian guards on either side.
Ah,
But
I actually wound up with one of those from somebody. I don't know how I did
yeah, I
that.
guess that's the one that they couldn't get rid of or something, because it seems like everyone I know has that one.
Yeah.
But the one I really wanted and would love to track down is the from the Last Jedi set, and it's with the AT-AT, the gorilla walkers. What are they called now? They're not AT-ATs.
Yeah, they're like AT RTs.
ATXYZs or something. Yeah, the
Yeah.
gorilla walkers. It's them in the background with the little speeders, the tail fin speeders speeding toward it. It's a great poster. So if you Google Dan Mumford IMAX posters and
Yeah, I'm
walkers,
actually looking at that very one
yeah,
right
oh my
now.
gosh, that is one where I think I would actually go out, search out, and pay some money for. Because it's a
Yeah.
number one, I just love the design of these new walkers. That was one of the things that when they released the trailers for Last Jedi, that really stood out to the point that I actually paused the trailer, took a screenshot, and made that like my Facebook cover photo, because I thought it was such a cool image of them walking, in that formation. But that
And it looks like the other two were Luke watching Rey training on
Yeah, at you.
and Finn and Phasma do later.
Yeah, that one's cool too, but man, this one really stands out to me.
That one's very
Yeah,
striking, yes.
he does some good work. All of his stuff is something else. You can go online and just type in his name and artist and do that in Google Images, and oh my gosh, you'll spend a couple of hours just looking through
Oh,
his
yeah,
stuff.
there's tons of amazing
Yeah,
stuff
way
there.
outside of Star Wars and into his original stuff that comes from just his imagination. Great, great artist. I definitely recommend checking his stuff out.
Well, that's a really good one. I'm just kind of looking over some of the art that was done for The Force Awakens as well as The Last Jedi. And again, some really striking images. I think there's even an image done for Thor Ragnarok
Yeah, he's ended up doing a
was
lot of pop culture stuff.
like that one's a lot of fun too. Well, let me see here how to follow that. I'm going to follow that one with a favorite Star Wars poster that I brought up many, many times, and I'm going to do it again. And it is a vintage 77 release. One of those posters you'd buy at Kmart or Target or the Treasury back in the day.
The Treasury, wow.
When you would go and they would have like the big poster display where you could leaf through all the posters on the
like
rack.
Like a big book.
And then then you'd go match up the number to the tubes down in the bottom. And it was,
I remember doing that, and they had miswrapped stuff, and I ended up with a Bo Derek poster. But I was not disappointed.
Yeah, it was completely accidental that I got this poster, but since I got it, I got to hang it on the wall and look at it
Christy
daily.
Brinkley? It was either Bo Derek or Christy Brinkley. I can't remember which.
Or the famous Farrah Fawcett, which was the bestseller. Yeah. Back before she was Farrah Fawcett Majors and before she wasn't. Too soon, Lee Majors?
Oh, yeah.
It was an image of Carrie Fisher as Princess Leia. Uh-huh. Shouldering a really heavy Imperial blaster with one hand on her hip against kind of a red background that fades down into white. And it just says Princess Leia on one side and Star Wars on the other. And it just was a stunning image. I mean, it just conveys that Princess Leia is a strong female character.
This is the image where she's got her left hand on the hip, and then the other blaster kind of upward. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. I know what you're talking about. That went on.
I mean, that was the hottest Carrie Fisher poster before Return
of
Jedi.
Right. Oh, of course. Well, it really was, because that image ended up getting used in so many other things after that. I mean, it's an iconic image.
Yeah, it truly is one of those that just stands out in the history of Star Wars. And the other nice thing is, in that scale, as a full-size poster, it was a really good illustration of the costume. Mm-hmm. You really could pick out all the elements of the costume, like the little ridges in her boots and stuff like that, that weren't that obvious.
Do you still have that poster?
Oh, I wish. Yeah. That one hung on the closet, my closet door for pretty much from 77 to about 84.
Yeah, it says here that it was produced in 77, and it was produced by Factors, the company.
Factors,
F-A-C-T-O-R-S.
Okay.
So maybe with a little
that actually rings kind of familiar.
If you do a little research, you may be able to replace it. Yeah, that is cool.
Yeah, that to me it was just that is the iconic Princess Leia.
Oh, definitely.
Image.
Yeah, for sure. All right, let's see. Is it my turn now?
You go right ahead.
You know what? I'm going to go with another Empire poster, but this is the one we were all fairly familiar with, and that's the Tom Jung poster, where it probably was the initial release. I don't think it ended up becoming the one that you saw everywhere. I think this was like the teaser poster. But Tom Jung actually did one for New Hope as well. I'm sure he did one for Jedi. In fact, I think his was aside from the Hildebrandt poster, Tom Jung's New Hope poster is probably the one everyone saw the most in theaters. You know, it was always his or the Hildebrandt's poster. But Tom Jung's Empire Strikes Back is the one where it's really cool because the figure of Vader is the most dominant thing in the image, but his cape is draped over him like a poncho going across the front part of him.
Oh, that's
and it,
right.
And it gave it just this cool look where, like, instead of going behind him, his cape is whipping around in front of him and going across, and it just gives it this spooky, kind of creepy look.
Now, is it the one that has the kind of, for lack of a better term, the tombstone shape with it's mostly pink, or are you looking at, or do you favor the one where it's more of a
bluish?
Okay, because they actually use that same sort of imagery in two different ways. But I think the original one is the
bluish. This bluish, and like the inside of Vader's cloak, since it's all mostly darkened in, is like space, and it's got the TIE fighters, TIE bombers actually zipping upward.
And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, this is the poster that famously had Lando added.
Oh, down there in the corner?
So there are actually two different versions.
Oh, wow.
Of this. I'll have to do a little research. But I wonder, there were some early complaints that Lando was completely unrepresented.
I wonder, because he kind of looks like he stands out from the rest of them. Like the color
it's
scheme.
Like everybody else is close.
Well,
up.
It's not just that. It looks like the color scheme is different from everything else.
He's just sort of painted in last minute, because everybody else is like close-up faces looking up, basically staring up at David's crotch.
Really? Really?
And, then Lando was added in, because I think when it was first published, somebody pointed out, well, where's Lando? And I can't help but wonder if maybe it was we didn't want to reveal, hey, look, new character.
Oh, that actually makes sense.
That was always
my thought. As opposed to
it
being something salacious,
Yeah, exactly, because everybody has to read the worst into everything.
It could very well be, because whereas everyone has more of a peach, pinkish hue to them, Lando, mm-hmm. you only see that on his right leg if you zoom in closely. That's interesting. I wonder if that was the case. From a illustrative point of view, it's such a cool poster. I've always thought, because Vader's pose, look at his right arm, how the way he has him bend at the wrist, the way his mm-hmm. finger and thumb are clutching the lightsaber handle. It's just a very dynamically drawn pose of Darth Vader. It's his leg jutting out from outside the cloak.
Yeah, it's very awkward stance, but somehow unless you just stare at it a lot, you're not that aware of how awkward that stance
is. It's almost like the go-to image for many a superhero cover,
Yeah.
But
I mean, you could twist your knee doing that. But I also like the fact that TIE bombers are used heavily in this.
They're all TIE bombers, and then all X-Wings.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then the charging Stormtrooper brigade.
Uh-huh.
And then one of the things that kind of becomes almost a... an icon of Star Wars poster art is 3PO and R2 being just sort of somewhere off to the side.
Yeah, they also look like they were added in post production.
But it's almost like every time you see a Star Wars poster, it's like, oh, we got to here. We'll just
and it's
put
always
3PO
the same pose.
Over here.
It's R2 to the left and 3PO's left arm resting on top of him. Like he's protecting him from something.
Exactly. Like, here, don't look.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
But it's rather ironic. That seems to happen a lot in the posters. And I don't know if it just sort of suddenly became tradition after a while or what. It took them a while to kind of come of their own on the movie.
But yeah,
posters.
Tom Jung, just to go, give a little bit of more information on him as an artist. He was hired on for the New Hope, or at the time Star Wars, before it was Episode 4. But yeah, his was more of like the Conan pose. Like everyone always talks about the image of Luke's cloak torn open. You see him bare chested and muscular, and Leia's showing all the leg. When you see that, the first thing you think of is Conan the Barbarian, and the reason why was. When he was given the job by Lucasfilm, they said they almost just gave him a grand overview of what Star Wars was going to be. So when they were telling him it's a fantasy sci-fi, however way it was explained to him, he immediately started thinking Frank Frazetta type stuff. And that's why when you look at it, it has very much a Frazetta type feel to it. There's an image, if you can find it, if you can look for Tom Jung Star Wars, I don't know, maybe prototype poster. It's a black and white sketch, pencil sketch, maybe a charcoal sketch. It doesn't differ very much from the finished piece except for Luke and Leia. The Death Star doesn't have the little indention, but the Vader is nearly unchanged, and the X-Wing formation is nearly unchanged. There's no droids present, but Luke and Leia are vastly different looking. Luke is more looking upward, so you can't even see his face very well because he's looking up into the glare of the lightsaber. But Leia, oh my gosh, it's like Frazetta drew Princess Leia. It looks nothing like Carrie Fisher, nothing like the finished piece. With it being a charcoal black and white drawing, it's hard to tell what she's wearing, but you almost swear that she's wearing a little loincloth that's barely covering anything. And she's got a cape, and her hair is doing that wispy, almost
yes.
cobweb-like thing that Frazetta's women always do. And I say it that way because a lot of times when I draw my women in illustrations, particularly like Wonder Woman, anytime I have Wonder Woman or the Baroness, I always give them that wispy, cobweb-like hair like Frazetta would always use. Because I always thought that was just kind of a cool look. Plus, I don't draw hair very well, so that's kind of like an easy way for me to do it.
Yeah, exactly.
Instead of an homage. But there's a piece, a presentation piece, that they did based on that New Hope charcoal drawing. It's half of it is that charcoal drawing. The other half is this description. And I think this will catch the interest of people because this was their early description of Star Wars. In the year 3000, not a long time ago, but the year 3000, how they explained it. In the year 3000, when starships hurtle through the galaxy beyond the speed of light, when mankind knows every alien being in the infinite universe, when a robot is more complex than the human mind that made him, when a billion suns and all their planets are controlled by a single awesome force, when all the ancient virtues of love and freedom and heroism are being called into question, then, and only then, one man will have an epic adventure greater than any man has ever had before and greater than any man will ever have again. So this Star Wars was actually placed in the future. But at this point in production, the logo Star Wars, not the yellow and black logo, but the one where it's like it follows that pattern of the opening crawl, that Star Wars logo is already established. Vader in his final form is already established, not the early Ralph McQuarrie version. So this tells me that production was so far along, they should have not made the mistake of putting this in the future.
Yeah,
and the year 3000 of all things.
And you have to wonder if, you know, so much stuff gets handled by
exactly.
so many people that, you know, you can just imagine, like, no, that's not his.
You're making a mistake. Your math is way off.
No, that's not what I said.
Poor Papa Lucas.
Who did you send this to? Yeah, it's just. Oh, well, so it goes. Yeah, I'm going to jump forward a bit. And talk about a series of posters. I think that these were put out as promotional images as well as some actual printed posters that were given away at different venues and such. And that was a series for Rogue One. I think you see this repeated a lot nowadays, is to have your character-centric posters. And they have a total of eight that give you all of your principles. Yeah. And then they've got that Jurassic Park, like, super bright computer screen that doesn't occur in real world that projects itself all over your face.
Okay.
So it's like somebody was doing an opaque projector presentation, and absolutely everybody from the entire cast walked in front of the projector.
Okay.
It's like, we're trying to have a slideshow here. But it's basically, you've got, Krennic and Chirrut Imwe, Baze Malbus, you got K2SO, Bodhi Rook, Cassian Andor, Saw Gerrera, and Jyn Erso, and all of them have Death Star plans sort of projected onto them.
Oh, okay. Oh, I know what you're talking about. Yes. I was lost for a second, but now I'm found, I suppose. Yeah, okay, where they had the green kind of computer readout kind of cast upon their heads.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's cool.
And it's just such a great, you know, I like getting little, you know, close-up teaser images that just here's your character and this, you know, suggesting core plot element, of course, being the Death Star
Right.
plans.
Well, it's funny that I didn't realize that that was, I had forgotten that it was a series of posters. I know you're like me, Cole, and that your wall space is very limited. But just to let you
Very.
know, if you're that in love with this set of images, but you don't have the wall space to hang up all eight posters, they also offer these exact images as a promotional card giveaway card set. So you could probably,
Ah, very nice. So that I could
yeah,
actually get
because
away
you would just
with
have to, yeah, you would
eventually.
just have to worry about having enough space to display the eight cards. So I imagine this is something you could get fairly decently cheap. But yeah, I remember these were also released as an eight-piece promotional card set, give a little giveaway. So
I even found one of I'm just mad about Mads Mikkelsen as Galen Erso with the same, you know, standing. Sit down, we're trying to watch the show
Okay, so
projector
there
thing
was
going
actually
on.
one of him too.
There was a ninth one
Oh,
apparently. Yeah.
cool.
Who knew? So I just that's the sort of thing I'm really silly for. They did the similar sort of thing for Ant-Man and the Wasp, where he had a series of character images as promotional pieces, and I like I think we'll see a lot of that with
Yeah.
Disney
Well,
coming to the
I don't
show.
know if it's the same image of Krennic, but I remember they did something similar with the Steelbook releases of the movies. I think they were Best Buy Steelbook exclusives. I could be wrong. Maybe these were done elsewhere, but pretty sure these were the Best Buy Steelbooks for the Blu-rays, where each one was like that close-up shot, you know, just like that Rogue One set. But of course, Phantom Menace was Darth Maul, Attack of the Clones was Dooku, Grievous, and then Krennic was the Rogue One steelbook. And then a great choice because they were going for a villain's theme. The New Hope steelbook had Tarkin, I believe, and then Vader, the
Okay.
Emperor, and Kylo Ren. If I'm remembering correctly, that's how it went on the different releases. So yeah, that's very very similar to this Rogue One set that you brought up. But that's a good choice. I wouldn't have thought of that one.
Yeah, plus I like the little posters that wind up in the hands of fans, you know, the ones that they mass produce to be given away
Yeah.
places.
Yeah, exactly. Cool. Well, let me see. I guess mine could also be. I was trying really hard to just pick out one, but since you did a series of posters for your Rogue One, I guess I'll get away with doing my series of posters for my next choice. These were ones that were done for Mondo. And if you're not familiar with Mondo, they do some brilliant, brilliant things as far as like releases, glasses for the Alamo Draft House, prints, t-shirts, oh, so many different things. And the artists that they use on their different projects are just something else. I wouldn't be surprised if the aforementioned Dan Mumford did something. But the set I'm gonna talk about today was done by artist Tyler Stout. Tyler Stout, a well-established pop culture artist, he did a series for Mondo, maybe with like about 4, 5, 6 years back. He did one of all the original Star Wars, Empire, and Jedi. So if you Google Tyler Stout Mondo Star Wars, you'll come up with them pretty quickly. I was gonna go with, if I had to choose one, my favorite would have been the Empire Strikes Back one, because design wise and character wise, it's an amazing piece. But
Oh, I remember these,
you can't just
yes.
pick one. It's like you have to go with all three as a set. He did this.
They're almost like the covers to coloring
Yeah, the
books or
adult
something.
coloring books, where they're mostly black and white and gray tones. But like in particular, they did two releases of every movie. Like the white, like I guess the more common release, like Star Wars had a red theme, Empire had a blue theme, and Jedi had a green theme, green and red theme. And then they did a color scheme.
Again
Yeah,
with the green
well,
Vader.
yeah,
He's not green in
exactly.
this, but
Close enough
still.
though. But then they did variant color schemes for like the exclusives. But like Star Wars, at the top you have the five little boxes with Chewie, Han, Luke, Leia, and Obi-Wan, and then down below is just this ridiculously wonderfully illustrated collage of all the characters. And Luke,
well, it is, it borders on being busy, but somehow gets right, away right. with it.
And Luke kind of like sliding down the Star Wars logo almost. like, and then down low at the bottom of the poster, you have the Lars homestead, you know, with the charred mm-hmm. remains and, you know, Luke looking on in disgust and horror. I mean, so many things. Vader choking the blockade runner soldier. And, I mean, when you just go in, you have to find a high-res scan of this thing and really zoom in to appreciate the guy's line work. I mean, his line work in not his overall delivery of how the characters look, but his line work itself kind of reminds me of Joe Quesada's line work. So if you ever, you know, especially back in the day when Joe Quesada got really big on the Sword of Azrael miniseries from DC, and then later he went on and did Daredevil with Kevin Smith, and he did a ton of other stuff. Joe Quesada has this very unique line style, and Tyler Stout's line style in an odd sort of way, it's a lot like Joe Quesada's style, where it's very clean line work. Like, you know, yeah, Cole, you said it earlier, it reminds you of the adult coloring books almost.
Mm-hmm. I also like the fact that if you look at all three of them, in this case, it's Revenge of the Jedi or Return of the Jedi, depending on which version
yeah,
you look
exactly.
at. The Jedi and Star Wars bookend each other in that the row of character images is
yeah.
across the top on each of those, and at the bottom you have an iconic locale, like the Lars homestead or the Endor
exactly.
bunker. And then on the Empire, it puts the character row on the
yeah.
bottom, and also puts the title at the top where the titles are closer to the bottom
yeah.
of the other two. So you have this really neat kind of bookending effect, which is works
mm-hmm.
beautifully with that, because there really isn't, with the exception of maybe Cloud City itself, there's not a singular small structure
no.
locale you could have mimicked or could have
yeah,
repeated.
The only thing that comes close is the Hoth battlescape at the bottom, but even then it doesn't really mirror the other two posters in that respect. But odd enough, in the Empire, well, no, I guess he repeats characters pretty often, because there's a couple of Lukes in each one. But in this particular one,
yeah.
I thought it was funny that he actually chose to put not only Boba Fett side by side, but Vader side by side up top. It's almost like Vader is massaging his own temple or something, you know? But yeah, I mean, all three are just brilliantly done. Like the Jedi poster, I love how it's front and center, right there in the center is Luke, but he's got his cloak pulled over so he looks more mysterious, you know, prior to revealing his whole face in Jabba's palace. Of course,
exactly.
I'm crazy anytime I get crazy anytime you throw biker scouts in the mix. But, you know, up top, it was a genius way of, since they were going with, like, this green and red theme, that they chose Leia in disguise, Lando in disguise, Vader unmasked, Ackbar, and Wicket, where they kind of carried that reddish theme through each of them. Just very, very cool way of just kind of piecing it all together. Yeah, I mean, like, again, you could just, everyone, you could just sit there and just look in detail. But, yeah, I don't know, it's just, out of all three, the Empire one just jumped out the most at me. I don't know if it was the color scheme. I don't know the fact that they even thought to put the space slug in there. You know, it was just something about how that particular piece worked overall. That just kind of out of three.
Yeah, that composition
uh-huh.
Is equally crammed full of stuff, but it's not as. I think perhaps part of it is the. It's a softer
yeah.
image, so your eye is a little more comfortable mm-hmm. on it than the bright reds.
Right.
Used to the other
and
two.
Just to talk a little bit about the artist Tyler Stout, you know, he's done a ton of stuff pop culture wise. But another thing that I remember seeing of his was the you know how LPs have made a big comeback in the past few years. The Guardians of the Galaxy Awesome Mixtape Volume 1, when they released it on LP, there was one version. It was probably a Mondo variant, if I'm not mistaken. It wasn't in the wide-release LP stores. He did the cover for the Mondo album cover, and again, it's just a lot of characters, a lot of really cool line of work. He did a really cool piece when the Alamo Drafthouse did a showing of Alien. Man, you look up Tyler Stout Alien Mondo poster. Oh my gosh, there's two versions. There's a green version. That's the one I like the most. And then there's like a red version, possibly. I can't remember. It's been a year or two since I remember seeing it. But I do remember the green version because it really jumped out at me because, you know, of course, the slime and everything. But Tyler Stout, interesting little backstory that he doesn't like to really talk about, only because he feels it's like bragging when other people see it as a noble thing. He has had a very successful career as an illustrator, but back in 2014, he actually took a complete 100% break from doing freelance illustration, so that way he could spend a year in the military. He actually went into the military for a year, and I think his reasoning was because he wanted to get good health care for his family, his kids and all. So he actually, and for anybody who does freelance illustration, if you get your momentum going really good, the last thing you want to do is go cold turkey and then try to jump back into it because you're going to lose all that momentum. So he actually took a pretty big chance of taking 2014 off to serve in the military, but then he came back after that, and of course, you know, the work was plenty because he's such a great artist. You know, people just want to use him. So I thought that was kind of a neat little backstory of Tyler Stout that probably a lot of his fans don't know about. So what would be your next choice?
Wow, that I was just kind of taken back by a lot of the art.
He's
there.
A lot like I mentioned earlier, Dan Mumford and Matt Bush, these guys. If you just type in their name and then artist in, under Google Images, like Tyler Stout in particular, I could just scroll through Google Images of his stuff all day. He just has like a ton of just really cool stuff.
Well, I was before the show. I got curious because one of the things I love, you know, like that Australian one sheet.
Yeah.
The foreign movie posters are always just a blast to discover, and that's a huge collecting market. A lot of people, their focus collection is foreign movie posters, and I found an article on Looper by Adam James that had some of the craziest. And the one that, like, holy crap, I would love a copy of this or a print of it, is a Hungarian poster for A New Hope.
Oh, yeah?
So look up, if you can, like, A New Hope Hungary movie poster. This is the craziest. It's weird because, like, the only thing they got right was a Jawa way in the background. Everything else is just this weird psychedelic. Actually, psychedelic's not quite the right term because it's all umber and burnt orange and black and some very muted tones. Yeah. But
I've seen this. Where Vader looks like almost like an architecture instead of like a person. It's funny that you brought this up because that was actually some that I came across when researching for this thing. I thought, what the heck is it? It reminded me immediately of the off-brand action figure collector cases that you would buy back in the day.
Oh, wow. There was something I couldn't put my finger on, and I think that a lot of it is there, too. Uh-huh. Are we looking at the same poster, though? Because Vader is not present on the one I'm. This is one by Andras, Andras Felvidiki, or something like that. Felvidiki.
We're not. Oh, yeah, yes.
And this is like the craziest. There's like a muskox bantha that looks
I just came across that one that you were talking about. We were talking about two different things. Yeah.
And this character that almost looks like Admiral Akbar.
Yes, riding him.
Astride.
You're thinking,
bantha.
Where did he get these references? And Chewbacca's eye is poking out through the laser blast.
Yeah, that's like this.
He's
weird,
got like that creepy tongue. And I'm not sure if that's a blaster he's holding or like a weird like beer bottle, intergalactic beer bottle. Oh my gosh! Yes, I actually remember coming across this one too in researching. But it didn't strike me as much as the others. That is bizarre. Look at the top of 3PO's head. It's like almost like a coffee maker or like a blender or something. It's so weird. Look at the tank.
Yeah, like I said, the only thing they got right
Jawa.
Was
and he's
the Jawa.
Coming out the back of the bantha like Ace Ventura or something.
Teeny
Oh my gosh, this is bizarre. Look at the
ooh, teeny then.
Look at the tank thing back there.
That sandcrawler tank. Yeah, it's like a single tread.
Okay.
And the Death Star is almost accurate. And then there's that weird like album cover spaceship.
Yes, yes. Did you spell out the name for the listeners? Did I miss that? Well,
yes, I did. Andras. Felvidekii.
Okay, just put that in Star Wars. It'll come up. Man, this is bizarre. This was licensed? It says so at the bottom. It says 20th Century Fox. Lucasfilm.
Yeah, this would have been the actual theatrical I think, you know, in foreign countries, there just happen to...
A lot of the old French movie posters were in that way, where when you look at the French poster to the movie, it's almost like they're telling the artist, give us your most off-the-wall interpretation of this movie. And then they come up with something bizarre, because that's not uncommon in French and Italian art as well.
Yeah, I think a lot of times the audiences are just so vastly different that, I mean, I would go see this movie. I was in Hungary because this way, like, what the
and then,
hell?
And then be disappointed that this wasn't the movie you were expecting.
Yeah, you're expecting something like, you know, The Yellow Submarine meets Flash Gordon.
Oh my gosh. That the face on the bantha alone is disturbing me. It's disturbing me in ways I don't even want to discuss right now. Okay, I'm going to...
What it put me in the mind of, and I don't know if you've ever seen this because it is a weird-ass film. I believe it is French, but I'm looking to double-check. It's a movie that was translated to English as Fantastic Planet,
yes.
Which actually it works because it apparently was made in 1973.
Yes.
Have you seen that bizarre-ass?
Yes, I know what you're talking about. You just said Fantastic Planet. I know what you're talking about.
But that is literally what it put me in the mind of, and I can't help but wonder if that's part of the inspiration.
I can see that.
Because they thought, well, maybe it you know, works out this kind of way.
Yeah.
Because yeah, that theory looks like a Fantastic Planet was made, or Star Wars was made by the same creators as an animated thing.
Okay.
I believe it, yeah. It turns out it was made in, apparently... A French / Czechoslovakian.
Okay, this is one I'm gonna throw out there since you brought up that weird nightmare of a poster, because when you said Hungarian posters, these are the ones I came across when researching, and these are also Hungarian. And I'll give you the artist's name, so y'all be ready to type this in for this in your search bar. His first name is Tibor, Tibor. Last name, Helenyl. And it's a series of three posters, and they are equally as bizarre as the one we just talked about. The first one is the one I'll talk about. Vader looks more like a structure than like an actual being. And in each of these, he's putting in these like lizard, like these V lizard aliens. Well, one of them has like a V alien. One of them has like a dragon alien. And... in one of the posters, let me know if you found these, Cole. The only thing that got right was the Star Destroyers.
Oh, yes. And the Vader's the Tidarium is almost accurate, but yeah, Vader looks like the almost like you melted the torch of the Statue of Liberty.
Yes,
because there's like that observation area, very Macquarie X-wing on that
okay,
one.
Okay, because I can't read Hungarian. These three are actually New Hope, Empire, and Jedi. Because the second one,
the Empire one looks like
the walker's
walker
melting
has extra long legs, and it's like stepping.
Yeah, or
something.
Melting the foot's melting. Yeah,
it's like stepping back to Poodoo.
And then the Jedi one is the stormtrooper on a speeder bike. Because originally when I saw these early on, of course there it is, Richard Marquand there on the poster. I wasn't looking that closely at the earlier ones I found because they were smaller, but I thought, oh, that's bizarre that back in the New Hope era they called the speeder bikes early on, because I didn't know, because I was thinking these are all Star Wars posters, but it turns out they're one from each. And what's the deal with Vader in the New Hope one? What's the deal with Vader, number one, having a human hand or a monster hand holding his lightsaber, and two, having R2-D2 as his shoulder pad? R2-D2's dome looks like his shoulder pad.
Yeah, it's almost like the comedian shoulder pad.
Yes! And, of course, they put the spoiler right there on the poster. The Death Star blows up!
Exactly!
It's so bizarre that they spoiled the movie on the actual movie poster.
Yeah, and then on the Jedi one, Vader's got a time tunnel
eye. Let me see. Yeah! Time tunnel. And the other one...
And then the Stormtrooper, their biker scout, it looks like Witchy Poo's broom.
Yeah, the Star Destroyers are the only things that they get right. The Tidarium shuttle there at the top. I missed that early on. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And these are also from Hungary. So there's just something about that market that they want their stuff to be abstract. The Empire poster. It's like, who is, you'll know this, Cole. He was the artist for Lobo. Is it Simon Beasley?
Yeah, might be. Yeah, it does have.
Look at the Empire. Well, look at Vader's hands and his cape. He's got like that Lobo Beasley kind of feel to them. Oh my gosh!
Yeah. And he's got like some kind of Frankenstein people hand on the Empire one.
Well, yeah, and same with New Hope. He's got like these bizarre veiny monster hands. But I really can't figure out in the New Hope version if that's supposed to be like their version of Greedo. Or what, with the little Sinbad dagger there.
Scimitar starts with an S. And then you got the same sort of idea with, like, some sort of weird, like, 60s sci-fi cover monster.
Yeah, it's bizarre.
And the only thing they got right was the Quicksilver spear from Episode 8. And I guess, I can't tell if that's supposed to be Vader's, the lower part of his mask, but it also almost invokes the Millennium Falcon.
One? Which poster?
On Return of the Jedi.
Let's go back to that one. Oh yeah, I can see that.
And then that weird like motif, like the little window elements in the Death Star, with those capsule shapes.
Yeah, it's all very bizarre. It's very. I can't believe we actually went into that, into those posters, because I remember seeing them in the research. I thought, oh my gosh, what is going on here? But you see what I mean? Like the three that when I saw the characters on those, it reminds me of like the off-brand figure holders where they had odd takes on the characters we know. Oh man, that's trippy.
It's pretty wild stuff there. So, going to, I guess, something a little more natural.
Yeah.
A little less
Darth Plagueis, where he dealt in things unnatural.
That's right. I want to talk a bit about, I guess, another series of posters, if we can.
Yeah.
And you had mentioned this before the show, that got me looking, and I'd forgotten that these were of the same ilk. And that is the Burger King Empire Strikes Back posters. But I think this is going to be one we're going to double up on this, because I'm thinking you're probably remembering very much even the original New Hope Star Wars posters.
Yeah, I remember the Burger King ones, I think, more. But let me check these out and see which ones I'm actually remembering from back in the day.
The original Star Wars King posters had this wonderful watercolor look to them and this very stylized imagery that focused on certain characters, and there was even a little write-up on each. I think it was Chewbacca, Darth Vader, Luke, and then C-3PO and R2. And they're just wonderful compositions. And then for Empire, I actually had the one that was the group ensemble with Vader crossing two Mace Windu.
That seems to be the one that I always see popping up on eBay and everywhere else.
That must have been the most common.
My favorite, again, if I had to track one down and pay like good money to have one on the wall, of the Empire posters, my favorite was always the Tauntaun one, because that, again, it looks almost Frazetta-ish in how it's painted. But yeah, it's obvious they have different artists, I think.
Actually, the Empire series were all done by...
oh, I see...
Frazetta Contemporary Boris.
Oh,
Vallejo,
there you go. I can see that.
Also known simply as Boris. And I love the one. I'm just silly for the Tauntauns. So naturally, I love the one with Luke and Han.
That's what I'm saying. That's if I had, out of all eight of these Burger King posters, if I had to track one down to own, it would be that Tauntaun one. Because look at the energy in that. Him pouncing around and all that. And Luke drawing back on the reins. It's great.
Yeah, that was a very Vallejo image, where the rest of them were a little less. But I actually used to have the Vader one, the ensemble one. And I think they gave it to us at the movie theater when we went to go see it. And I also, for the Star Wars series, the Chewbacca one, I think is just one of the most beautiful images. Yeah. All of those are striking, but like you, if I had to have just one...
See, on the New Hope ones, I was always more – even though I love Han and Chewie as characters, I was more drawn toward the droids one. And I don't know if it's because they decided to give 3PO this odd stance where he was – his right arm was being a lot more dynamic than it will ever be in any of the movies because he's got it up and pointing as opposed to just kind of like stationed at his side. But
yeah,
I don't know. There was something. I don't know if it's the color scheme or what. But out of the four, that one was always the one that kind of jumped out at me. But yeah, going back to the Empire ones, I think that's why you and I are like, not the fact that it also has a Tauntaun, but I think the reason why you and I are so drawn to that particular one is when you look at all four of them together. By comparison, the other three are kind of static. Everyone's just kind of standing around.
Yeah. Luke's holding his lightsaber up. And just kind of hanging out with Yoda and R2. You've got a fairly decent recreation of the Han Carbonite scene, more or less. And then Vader kind of being a filler at the top.
Yeah.
And the other one, the one I used to have, being almost more just a standard movie poster.
It's interesting to note also, since you did point out that these are all Boris Vallejo illustrations, that in two different posters, he's given us the same subject of Luke riding a Tauntaun, and look how different they are from each other. Like, you could tell, like, the one that focuses on just Luke, the Tauntaun, and Han Solo, you could tell that that's probably something he came up with out of his imagination. Whereas in the other poster, the one you have where Vader's crisscrossing the two sabers, that Luke and Tauntaun, it's almost like he was working directly off the photo image itself.
Yeah, it does look more like if Boris Vallejo would wanted to do some sort of space painting.
Yeah, so it's bizarre.
It almost looks more like one of his own than trying to replicate something.
Yeah, I think that's why it's so cool. It's because it's his own take on a Tauntaun and everything else. That's something else. Now you got me thinking. I need to start searching on eBay for some some of these things. These Burger King things have always had a special place in my heart anyway. The posters, the glasses, the trading cards. Like, anytime Burger King did a Star Wars promotion, it was always cool to do, because we weren't big on going to Burger King as a family when we were kids. But the times I do remember going to Burger King was when they had Star Wars promotions going on. And, of course, I think we've discussed this. We actually discussed this on the episode where my brother Vic was on with us, and he brought up the Handy Dan. And you and him were on and on about the Handy Dan out there by
off
of
I-35, yes.
And Target was right there next to it. Well, that Burger King that was in...
And the Treasury.
Yes.
And, yeah, that Burger King was, like, parked right out in front of
everything. Yeah, between it and, like, there was, like, that little gully, that little moat, you know, the sewer drain.
Yes.
The little sewer thing that you had to drive over. As a little kid, I always thought it was kind of exciting. I know I was like 4 years old to drive over that little bridge.
Well, there was that whole series of little bridges.
Yeah, to drive over the bridge.
You know, depending on where you were going, you would cross one of the many bridges.
And they're still there to this day. But yeah, that Burger King was parked right up there closer to the street, you know. And so, yeah, you had that and the Handy Dan. And I was completely drawn a blank as to what the hardware store was around the corner until Vic and you were talking about the Handy Dan. And then all of a sudden... the floodgates opened up, and all these memories of going with my dad to the Handy Dan there off of I-35. Oh, man. Yeah, those are cool. Those are definitely some cool illustrations, poster illustrations.
Absolutely. That was a great, fun series, and... you know, it's also one of those just icons of the history of Star Wars in posters.
Mm-hmm.
And so I like the sorts of things that were the posters that were designed to get in the hands of the public. And real quick, just going back to you mentioned Vader's cape going over his shoulders, almost like a poncho in the one poster.
Yeah, like he's
Empire.
the man with no name or something.
Yeah, well, one thing that occurred to me, I hadn't quite fully made the connection, but Krennic's rain cape.
Oh, yeah.
Very much invoked that in my mind, and I think, you know, at intervals it occurs to me and then I'll forget, but that did remind me that's kind of what that felt like.
Mm-hmm.
Especially with that wind and rain
whispering
off of him. It feels like that image in a way. And I can't help but wonder if there was some, perhaps even some inspiration from that, you know, for that there.
You never know, because I feel like out of all the Star Wars movies, the recent Star Wars movies we've gotten, Rogue One was the one where they really delved into the past mythos of Star Wars, like all things early Star Wars. It was invoked so well in Rogue One. So I wouldn't be surprised if that raincoat poncho thing was not inspired by that poster by Tom Jung, since it is so iconic. But
so I think that was one of mine. So if you haven't exhausted all yours, I think we may have time for a couple
I'm
more.
Pretty much. I mean, I could go on and on, but I think I'll just end it. I briefly talked about the special edition posters that Drew Struzan did, and I want to do this as my closing one because I kind of also want to get your opinion on something in particular. But just to open up the discussion, the Drew Struzan special edition posters, oh my gosh. I had these back in the day, and I think Vic may still have them. I think I ended up, you know, handing them over to Vic to have, and because he's a big poster collector and I'm not so much. But I had these back in the day, and I bought them at probably Walmart when the special edition was real big in the 90s. These are probably some of my favorite of the Drew Struzan illustrated stuff, and I'm so excited that they brought him back for the special the prequel movies to illustrate those posters as well. But, you know, much like the Mondo posters I brought up earlier, I was trying to choose one favorite. I mean, if I had to lean toward a favorite of the three, it would probably be A New Hope. It's maybe because of the warmer colors that's used as opposed to the cooler colors on the other two. Maybe the fact that it's got the Han, Luke, and Leia as the subjects. But then you start looking at the others and you're thinking, well, man, that Empire poster is striking because you have everything coming, radiating from that center area of Vader. And then from Vader, everything radiates out. All the starships, the AT-AT walkers, the Star Destroyer, everything's coming out towards you, you know. Jedi, again, with that bluish-greenish color scheme, and oddly enough, why they used the Empire silhouette of Luke and Vader fighting, I'll never figure that out, but it was just cool because you had, and when you look at them together, it's, when you put them all side by side, it's cool how, I didn't catch this early on until I actually bought the posters and hung them up side by side on my wall. When you hang them up, the starships are all traveling from the center of the Empire Strikes Back going outward.
Oh,
yeah, it goes like in New Hope, since it would be positioned to the left of Empire. You know, you got the ships flying off to the left. At Jedi, the ships were flying off to the right. So it wasn't until I had them up on my wall side by side where I thought, oh, that's cool. The starships are all coming from the center of the Empire poster and going outward. So I thought that was a really cool little aspect that Struzan threw in there. And I wanted to ask you your opinion on this, Cole. Were you a bit irritated, with the exception of the teaser poster for Force Awakens? It's the one of Han, Finn, and Daisy Ridley. I can't remember, drawing blank there. And Kylo Ren in the background. You know, Drew Struzan illustrated that teaser poster for Force Awakens. I just only assumed that meant we were going to get a Drew Struzan poster for the new movies. Are you as irritated as I am that...
I guess not so much, because I, more often than not, I'm not that personally aware of the artists involved. But, you know, there are certain artists who are just nail it every time. And Struzan is certainly one of those. He knows the dynamic.
Yeah. I was very disappointed in, I forget the name, I should know it, and I apologize for not knowing it right off the top of my head, because I do know his name, but the artist that did the Force Awakens poster that we all know, he did a great job at it, don't get me wrong. His stuff on the Force Awakens poster was great. But I was really disappointed. Okay, here it is. Brian Morton. Brian Morton did the piece, the Force Awakens poster. But it's nothing more than a Photoshop piece to me.
Yeah, it's not... there's a certain dynamic that you want in a movie poster. Oftentimes either a kind of triangular, pyramidal configuration, or you know, a nice spread or something like that. But, a montage compilation type of thing.
Just being a big Struzan fan, and the fact that we, you know, he may not have been around to give us, with the exception of that wooden fence poster, he wasn't around to give us our theatrical posters for the original trilogy, but he gave us the special edition posters, and from that, he taken that same layout for the special edition posters, he gave us the prequel posters, which are beautiful pieces. I just assumed that meant we were going to be getting Struzan posters, and all he's done thus far is the teaser for Force Awakens. And I don't know, as a fan of both Star Wars and Drew Struzan, I'm a little bit disappointed, because he did the Crystal Skull poster, and that's not very long back that Lucasfilm had him doing artwork for them, as you know, for their poster. So I don't know. I wish they would get him back at least for the last movie, but that's a minor complaint in all the things, I guess, overall. But just had to show Struzan some last bit of love before I closed down on my choices.
Absolutely. I want to finish up with one that I kind of stumbled on, because one of the places where some really amazing posters and prints become available is the Star Wars
celebrations. Oh my gosh.
And they're always horrendously limited.
That's a whole nother episode by itself, practically. Those are great. Oh.
Yes. You know, be prepared to spend $100 or more if you're going to try to track them down. One of the ones I think was just absolutely brilliant is, let me see if I can find it again now. I had so many things going on. It's a series, it's a poster that depicts quite brilliantly three covers of pulp novels by a artist named Russell Walks, or Walks. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, he walks away. And it is New Hope, The Empire Strikes Back, and Return of the Jedi done as 35-cent cheap Ritz novels.
Oh, I've seen these as like the little dime store novels.
And, right, yeah.
Yes,
right down to the point of being
tattered,
you know,
yes.
dog-eared and fox.
I completely
and
forgot
everything.
About those.
Oh, and I just love the way they, you know, it's not necessarily romance novels because there's not a lot of like, you know, big hunky hon kiss and lie or anything, but more like the you know, the series of like, you know,
yes,
James
I was
Bond
gonna
knockoff
say that.
Action type of things and stuff. So you know, Leia is the central theme, the femme fatale that appears in all three
yes.
covers, and it's just I'm tempted to find a really good image of this, and you know, print it up paperback style, go buy a paperback book at the dollar store,
slap it on,
and paste it's print it on label paper and paste it up so we can, like, you know, maybe sometime when like the Jedi Cole Universe lot
at AllCon.
At AllCon, yeah, just be kind of reading it, thumbing through it, and people be like, "Wow, what's that?" And like, no, it's fake.
That I'm so glad you brought that up. That is one that it has escaped my memory, but as soon as you said that and you started to describe, I was like, "Oh yeah, the little dog, you know, the roughed up paper back covers." Yeah, it's funny that you said James Bond, because I remember as I was trying to piece it, you know, connect it to something, I was kind of thinking something like In Like Flynn and, you know, those types of old 60s type of spy stuff, and James Bond, of course. Yeah, those are great pieces.
It just brilliantly captures the feel, so I'm going to go ahead and close on that one.
I remember, at the top, are you looking at the image yourself right now?
Yes.
Okay, tell me at the top, they use the lightsaber in a way to where the blade of the lightsaber is like where they put the words? I can't remember what that said in the lightsaber.
I think it says in a galaxy far, far
away
across the...
I always thought that was also clever that...
Like that's the series because each one of them are number 4, 5,
exactly.
And 6.
Exactly. I always thought that was like, clever that they use the lightsaber as like part of the icon, like the layout design in the book covers.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah, that's... good choice.
And there was, I did stumble upon a poster that someone had done, a poster by an artist named Jeff Carlisle. And it's basically Grauman's Chinese Theater on Tatooine or Coruscant, I'm not sure which. And like pretty much every Star Wars character in the catalog is, as well as all the iconic ships are surrounding the like opening day at the movie theater. There's a TARDIS. So there you go.
Just a quick shout out. I forgot to mention this earlier, but we got to give like props. People may not be the biggest fans of the Ewok made for TV movies, but boy, did they go.
That's a great.
They go all out and making those posters for a made for TV movie. The posters for the Ewok movies are better than probably the majority, probably 95% of the posters we get nowadays. And I'm not 100% sure, but I think Drew Struzan was also the artist on the Caravan of Courage poster. Maybe both. I without doing prior research.
That does have that feel to it.
Not doing prior research, I can't say for sure, but I wouldn't be surprised if he was the artist that did those posters in particular.
Well, we opened with toys. I'm going to close with statuary.
Okay.
You know, as a lot of people ask me sometimes, what's the best thing to collect from an investment standpoint? Statuary not only never loses its value, it always gains value in my experience. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to talk about the Gentle Giant has their Premier Guild. It's kind of their collector's club.
Yeah.
And if you're keen on statuary or their giant size vintage figures, things like that, the neat thing with their Premier Guild is if you join at the gold or platinum membership level,
uh-huh.
you get some amazing gifts. So, like, the gold membership, which I joined at, it's $100, and you get a $120 statue as your gift for joining. So,
wow.
you know, it's like saving $20 off a statue that only members can buy.
Yeah.
And their gifts every year are just pretty phenomenal. So for this year, they have a in their minibus, there's a Bespin Princess Leia,
uh-huh.
The Space Trooper,
uh-huh.
which are the guys you see outside the Death Star.
Yeah.
And the one that hooked me, a Man-O-Man.
What?
And I've been collecting
what
since almost the beginning of the Gentle Giant minibus, and I haven't bought one in years. And I'm like, oh, crap, I have got to join because I have got to own the Man-O-Man mini bust. It looks amazing. And they're still just doing the digital sculpt right now.
Oh, wow.
And it's, you know, a Man-O-Man from the waist up, both arms. So, you know, one big long fingered hand is dragging the ground.
Uh-huh.
The other's holding his staff with the skulls.
That's interesting.
And, but then they also have one of your gift choices at that level is the, what do they call the jumbo figure of Bib Fortuna, where it's on the original.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The original Kenner style card, only it's, you know, six times the original.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And, you know, they've done some amazing stuff. The one year I tried to join and I came in too late, and the next year's gifts were kind of, in my opinion, lackluster.
Yeah.
This year, the gifts are amazing. I've already got my – it'll be second quarter of 2019 before my bust arrives. But,
oh, wow.
But, damn, I'm really thrilled about that coming up. And also, I'm considering, because I've got a coupon for $30 off, plus I get a member discount on in-stock merchandise.
Uh-huh.
Going ahead and getting the mini bust of Bib Fortuna.
Yeah.
Which is a dead-on likeness of Tim Rose.
Oh, wow.
For Bib Fortuna. But, you know, that it's just one of those things I recommend to Star Wars fans, because their gift, their collector's club pretty much tends to be very Star Wars centric.
Yeah.
And their minibus line has been around for, gosh, 15 years or more.
Yeah. That's about right. I mean, yeah. It may even be going longer than that if you do the math.
But
yeah, no, that's about right. It came about during the prequel era, like later in the prequel era. So 15 years is about
launched,
right.
Launched with the very first ones were actually done from episode 2.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking about, midway through the prequel era.
Yeah, there's probably been around longer than I thought. But, you know, in my personal collection, I've got a bunch of them. The Gamorrean Guard is amazing. The first Han Solo they ever did. Grand Moff Tarkin, which was actually done from a life cast of Peter Cushing.
Yeah.
And the likenesses were incredible. For a while, they kind of got a little lackluster, but, man, they're coming out swinging again. So, anyway, check out Gentle Giant if you're keen on getting statuary, because they do some amazing work. And we'll be back very shortly with the fourth and final episode of The Force of July. Four episodes in July, getting us building us up to the big August bifecta, the 75th episode of this show and the 100th episode of the live show. And we're looking forward to bringing that to you as well here very soon.
This awesome music is provided by Ray Reezy. That's R-E-Y-R-Z-Y. You can find him on Instagram and SoundCloud. On Instagram, it's at R-E-Y-R-Z-Y. And on SoundCloud, it's soundcloud.com/R-E-Y-R-Z-Y. You can also contact him at rayreezymusic@gmail.com. Make sure you check out this guy's stuff. It's really awesome. Thanks for listening, and may the Force be with you.